2 Corinthians chapter number 9, I want to begin reading in verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse number 6. Chapter 8 and chapter 9, Paul is writing about other churches getting a collection together and sending it to a very poor group of churches and helping them in some affliction and some time of need. It's what Christians do for other Christians. We help each other. Many's been the time that people would slip money into my hand and say, give this to so-and-so, but don't tell them where you got it. Okay, I'll do that. Many's been the time they said, I know that these people are going through a difficult time at the present. Give this to them, but don't tell them where it came from. Okay, I've done that. And that's the epitome of Christian love. That's loving one another. That's helping one another in a time of need. This is what Paul's writing about in chapter 8, chapter 9. But he uses the word thanksgiving again and again. And I love that. And since we're right here upon the holiday of Thanksgiving that's been started in America, I thought it'd be great to use it today as a subject, giving thanks and being thankful again and again. Nothing shows a rudeness and a crudeness than not being thankful for what God does for us. And we should show our thanksgiving unto Him again and again. 2 Corinthians 9, began reading in verse 6, Paul says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Father, I pray now that you might cause us to understand, realize, and be aware of your presence this morning, your manifestation to us. I pray that you might manifest yourself through the reading of your word to one another, that you might manifest yourself through the preached word, through the music, the songs. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you might just give credit and glory to our great God in all things that he's done and is doing and shall do for us. And I pray that you'll give grace to me to speak this morning in the challenges that I've had already. Today, I pray that you would give your power. I pray your presence. I pray your authority. We give all the credit, all the glory, all the joy to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Be seated. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. In verse number 11, you find it said, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. That means in all liberality, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. You know, I believe it was James who said, every perfect gift and every good gift is from above. comes down from the Father above. Men may give it into our hands, but it is God who has prompted the heart of men to give to begin with. So he says, you have been enriched. You have been richly furnished with everything. Boy, they talk about, I don't know the brands of bread. I quit buying bread. But they used to talk about colonial bread. Is that out here? Is that somewhere else? What kind of bread they have out here? Does anybody eat bread? Nobody eats bread? Does anybody eat a sandwich? What? Nature's own. Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, somewhere in the back of my mind, there's colonial bread. I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's in Arkansas, it's in Ohio, it's in Louisiana, Tech. I don't know where it is. It's kind of like Bluebell ice cream. We used to have a different brand where I grew up, and Grandma was fond of it. I enjoyed eating it, but it wasn't Bluebell. I didn't know anything about Bluebell until I came to Texas. It's a Texas thing. Anyway, they used to advertise bread as being enriched with vitamins and minerals, being enriched with all the good stuff that you have need of. So when you eat a sandwich, I wonder why they called it that. When you eat one, then you're getting vitamins and minerals. You're also getting gluten and everything else to go with it, the bad stuff as well. It's why I quit eating bread. But anyway, enriched. You're enriched. There has been a deposit made, and it's been put into the batter, and the bread now is enriched with vitamins and minerals. We might talk about the same thing in milk and all those kinds of things. But here he talks about it in verse number 11, and he's talking to these saints who have had the heart of giving to others in need. And Paul writes, and he says, look, being enriched, you were enriched by God in the process, enriched. You were richly furnished with everything and everything. Verse 11, to all bountifulness, to all liberality. You may have nothing at all, but your heart is willing. That's all that counts. You know, if we only give from the pocket, it's legalistic giving. But when you give from the heart, that's spiritual giving. That's what God blesses. And here he says, you've been enriched in everything, to all bountifulness, to all liberality, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. We're on the receiving end. I'm on the receiving end sometimes. But God has prompted the hearts of people to give to me. And many's been the time when a little widow woman back in Arkansas at a little country church at Crossroads Community, I went to her house and visited her one day. I was her new pastor, and I was getting ready to travel to Israel for the first time and view all the biblical sites, and I was so excited. I was telling people from the pulpit. We had a little country church, but two rows in that church were filled every Sunday with people, and she was one of them. I went to visit her. Ms. Mask was her name. And Grandma Mask was there, and I went in, and she was in her 80s at that time, had to be, and she had me come in, sit down, and I came in, we sat, and we chatted for a little while, and she said, now tell me about your trip. I said, yes, ma'am, I'm going to Israel. I'm going to walk where Jesus walked, and she got excited about it, and she started saying amen with me, and man, that old woman started preaching. I think she was preaching a sermon before we got through. She said, excuse me just a minute, Brother Gunder. I'm 40 years younger than her, 50 years younger than her. My goodness, no. I was more than that. She was in her 80s, and I was in my 20s. And she said, excuse me just a moment. There were only three rooms in that house. There was a little living room and a big kitchen area and, her bedroom and the bathroom connected. And she disappeared into the bedroom. She came back with her coin purse, and it was one of those deep ones and had the little snap on top. And she brought it out and sat down across from me, and she unsnapped it and pulled it open and started reaching in there. And she pulled out a $20 bill. That's big. $20 used to be a lot of money, believe it or not. Hey, how long ago has that been? 40-something, almost 50-something years ago. $20 went a long ways. She's on Social Security, her in her 80s, and she pulled out that $20 bill, and she folded it up and put it over, handed it to me. I said, no, ma'am, I can't take that. And her eyes got big as coffee cups, I promise you. She said, what do you mean you can't take that? She said, I'm not giving it just to you. I'm giving it to God for your trip. And she said, young man, I want to teach you something. Don't you ever turn down a gift that somebody has given you by their heart and from the bottom of their heart. Don't you turn that down and deny them the blessing of God in their life. Woo! That woman stomped all over me. I said, yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. I put it in my pocket. That woman gave me a sermon, a scolding and a whipping all at one time. And she meant every word of it. When you give from your heart, it doesn't matter if it's 20, if it's 10, if it's 1, if it's 50 cents. I've had kids bring me 6 cents, a nickel and a penny. Said, preacher, can I give this to me? You sure can. God accepts it. And you know what? When you give from the heart, that's spiritual. And that goes a long way. You know, the plate comes by and you kind of look at it and you say, wonder if anybody's watching, and you begrudge it because here comes the offering plate, and you pull out a small amount and throw it in maybe and just kind of soothe your conscience. You might as well have kept that in your pocket. It's not going to do any good because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. The Lord loves people who are thankful for their salvation, thankful for their heavenly home, thankful for the fact that He's coming back for them, thankful for all of the goodness that God has given them in their life, thankful that He's helped them get over that sickness, and thankful that He's given them that job, and thankful that He's provided that home for them to live in. No matter how meager, they're thankful. God loves a cheerful giver and a thankful individual. And that's what Paul is writing about here. He said, you've been enriched. My goodness, you've been richly furnished with all things good to your liberality. Because of your liberality, because of your kindness from your heart, not from your pocket. Oh man, that old woman, Mrs. Mask, I never will forget her till the day I die. Bless her heart. She said, let me teach you something. Man, those eyes snapping at me. And she had a preacher son that preached all over the country. In fact, he pastored the church in his latter years, pastored the church before I got there. So Mrs. Mask knew what preachers were all about. She said, don't you sit there and tell me you're not going to take this. Yes, you're going to take this. Bless her heart. And I took it, went to the Holy Land, and enjoyed that trip. But let me tell you, he says these people were the very same way. They were poor people. They had nothing. But they got together and they made up an offering and they sent it to the church that was having such a difficulty. And Paul wrote the story about them in chapter 8 and chapter 9. He said, prove the sincerity of your love the same way they did by giving. Giving to the Lord and giving to His work. Notice, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness which causeth through us thanksgiving unto God. Mrs. Mass taught me something. She taught me not only to receive that which is willfully given, accept it humbly, accept it and acknowledge it, but to give thanks to God for it. Because it really didn't come from that individual. God put it on the heart of that person to give in whatever direction it goes to give. So what happens? We look at that humble gift. We look at that giver and we thank God for His touching their heart and for their willingness to give. For their willingness to be just a vessel of honor unto God to pass this on, no matter how humble or how great it is, we give thanks to God for it. That's the way you ought to look at your job. That's the way you ought to look at life. you know, and think about that. You young people living at home now under the roof of your mother and father, you ought to recognize that and be thankful that you're not on the street somewhere, that you're not living in poverty somewhere, that you were not born in a third world country somewhere and you had to walk 5 miles to get a bucket of water. You ought to be thankful to God that He has enabled your mom and dad to help you and to provide for you where you are. You thank God for the job He's given your dad or your mom. You thank God for all of those things, for the food, the clothing, the shelter. You thank God for it all. That this bountifulness causes through us thanksgiving to God. Yes. And then the last verse in that chapter, verse number 15, says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift," which is what? Jesus Christ, the one who died for us on the cross, the one who loved us so greatly, the one who saw that we had a need and we could not meet that need, but the only way that we could be present with our Father in heaven is by a new birth, which Jesus Christ bought and paid for and made the sacrifice for our sins. Wonderful thing. Now there's four things I want to give you and try to be quick about it. I want you to notice number one, that thanksgiving brings glory to God. Amen. Thanksgiving brings glory to God. Now, oftentimes I give the word glory a definition. I think the proper definition is to reveal the truth of a thing. In other words, if we reveal the truth of God, we reveal that He's omnipotent, He's omnipresent, and He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful, all-present, and all-knowing. He's a God that you can't fool. He's a God that is here when you need Him. He's a God that can provide anything and everything. And we see the truth of God is that He provides good gifts and perfect gifts, and He works through other people. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. God stirs those hearts and God blesses those people. But we recognize that God is the author of it. We recognize God is the author of it. That's why I've been able to separate people from their giving over the years. I've never been necessarily influenced by money. That started way back in my childhood. That started back when I saw the haves and the have-nots. That started way back when I saw in the fertilizer lines and the fertilizer business that the haves get more than the have-nots get as far as service and quality of service. And that's not right. The have-nots ought to get the greatest service as anybody else. But oftentimes, you know what it says, money speaks louder than words. That's not right. But nevertheless, it started a long time ago that I recognized that and been able to separate people from their money and not look at people like, okay, this person gives a lot, so I'm going to give them more attention. This person doesn't give much. They're nobody. These people, you know, so on. It doesn't work that way. Everyone is equal in the sight of God. As a matter of fact, when you stop and think about it, you look at that little widow who gave only 2 mites, which were less than 2 pennies in our currency today, and God said, all of these have given out of their abundance, but she hath given out of her poverty. She hath given all that she has. And she was written down about it. You know, we talk about her all the time. Thanksgiving brings glory to God. And when we give thanks, it honors God. It means that the truth of the matter shines forth. That we see that we are thankful because at the very root of it and the very foundation of it is God. Somewhere in there is God. Even though we say, well, I work for Exxon, I work for this company, or I work for that company. At the very root of it, somewhere, God has opened the door and provided for us. So thanksgiving brings glory to God. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, you could read that whole chapter, and it is good. Every bit of it is good. He talks about the mercies of God. He talks about the greatness of God. But down in verse 14, the Bible says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus, who raised up Jesus? The Father did. God the Father. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. Romans 8:28 tells us that as well. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Now let me explain that. Go back. For all things are for your sakes. Yes. That the abundant grace, how'd you get saved? By amazing grace. That's how you got saved. Through faith in Jesus Christ. It wasn't of yourself. There's not anything you can add to it or take from it. It's all of God, every bit of it. All of grace and all of faith. And you find it says here, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace, that God's mighty grace, unmerited favor. He didn't look down and say, oh, well, you got money, I'm going to save you. Oh, you're really poor, you're worthless, I don't want you. God didn't do that. He looked at all of us in the same way and said, all have sinned and have come short of my glory. All are struggling, and none realizes that they cannot make it on their own. There's no way. That's what religion tells you. Religion tries to add something to it and say, you know, let your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, and God's got to let you in heaven. God ain't got to do nothing. God's going to do what's right. God's not going to be persuaded by emotions or by deeds or any of those things, not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saves us, and by his grace. So look, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, okay? Forget the thanksgiving of many. Read it like this. That the abundant grace might redound to the glory of God. What does that mean? It means that we've been saved. So when we get saved, we don't rejoice for ourselves and think, man, I'm a pretty good person. I've been saved and I got myself saved. You did not. You got saved by the abundant grace of God. And it is the abundant grace of God that causes us to give so much thanks and thanksgiving to God that it's like the waves of the sea that keep crashing to the shore. They just keep rolling in. You can't stop those waves from coming. They just keep coming in, one right after another, after another, after another. And that's what he means right here when he says that the abundant grace might redound to the glory of God, one right after another, a wave. Here it is. Now, he qualifies it because he uses the word through, and the word through is the truck that brings the groceries to HEB. Well, I go to HEB and get my food. Yeah, but how does HEB get it? Through the trucks. Through the trucks, okay? So I go to God for my grace, I've been saved by grace. Okay. And God is glorified by that. How is God glorified by that? Through the thanksgiving of many. Do you see? God is glorified. There is no glory to God if there's no one giving thanks. There's no glory to God if there's no one recognizing that it's the hand of God completely and totally. There's no glory to God if we think the church did it for us. There's no glory to God if we think the baptistry did it for us. There's no glory to God if we think our works did it for us or our money did it for us. No, sir. Thanksgiving brings glory to God through the abundance of the grace that was given unto me. Thank God for that. Those who have been saved can testify of the greatness of the abundance of grace. Out of darkness into light. There's a second thing about thanksgiving. You find in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you find that liberal giving causes thanksgiving to God. We've kind of touched on it. Liberal giving. Oh, the only time I want to be equated with a liberal is when God is saying it. Amen. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Don't you think I've made it? I've made it. The liberal soul shall be made fat. The liberal soul, the compassionate, the giving. Liberal giving causes things. What is liberal giving? Well, it's more than what you think is necessary. What's necessary, preacher? Oh, well, you're going to say, well, I give 10%. It's amazing. When I used to, my wife and I used to count everything and make the deposit years and years ago. And we got out of that business, turned it over to a treasurer and trustees. But I don't know what's going on now, really. I don't. I just spend it. I don't ask, how much do we have? Well, preacher, you got to stop spending. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. But it's an amazing thing. When people give, they write a check. You know they're a 10% giver because they'd write a check to the penny and the nickel or the dime and the penny instead of rounding up and giving God the benefit. I mean, it's like $347.23 they give to the Lord. Well, you know what they made that week, don't you, or that month? And that's ridiculous. I never have done that. I thought if God is able, then God is able to give back. I'd rather God owe me than me owe God. Amen. The liberal giver. I mean, not to the dime, not to the penny giving 10%. That's just the starting place. When he talks about Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, that's an offering. That offering is over and above a 10% gift, you know? That's more than a tithe, and so we ought to just be liberal. The liberal giving calls thanksgiving to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 11, but I'm only going to read verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. You ought to underline it or circle the word bountifulness because it means liberality. Unto all liberality which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Liberal giving causes us to give thanks to God. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. This time of year when we think about thanksgiving, what causes us to be thankful? Well, you say, well, I have warm clothes and I live in a nice house and I get to eat good food and I have all of, yeah. But what about people that don't have that? Well, we can still recognize God's presence and we can recognize God's love in everything that He does for us, and we should give thanks. There should not be a day go by that you don't thank God for what you have. Literally. Not one day. My wife and I give thanks again and again. We talk about how blessed we feel like we are. No better than anyone else, but just blessed. And how God's hand has been upon us and how God has given to us and how thankful we are to God for all things that He has richly blessed us with. Liberal giving causes thanksgiving to God. We find that this chapter was written about ministering to the saints and the needs and cares that they have, not only at home but abroad as well. All mission work or benevolence should not be just overseas, but it ought to start right here in our local community and go from there as we use our bus ministry and in outreach and other areas for local mission work. Which brings me to a letter that I got this week. One of our missionaries we've supported for a long time, the Warnakes over in the Fiji Islands, are coming off the field. Renee Warnake is having some horrible health problems related to that humid climate. And I'm not going to read the letter, but just excerpts. My wife's health continued to deteriorate, even though we've done all the doctors and the home remedies told us to do. She's been sick for over 7 years. Most of it is because of the high humid area in which they live. They discovered that she had toxic mold poisoning due to the humid climate and virtually everything turning musty and moldy in the tropical environment. She went back to Montana while he and the children stayed on the field in Fiji and sought medical help. And they thought that she was 100% better. She's taking 35 different prescriptions and supplements. She went back to the field last November, a year ago, and she had been advised by the doctor not to go back because the humidity was causing much of her problem in that toxic mold. This June, Renee's heart began to race again, off and on, was unable to sleep. She had tremors in her body and other side effects. Though the weather and climate of Fiji slowly killing her, she continued to push through. After many more tests, doctors found that she not only had mold poisoning off the charts, but also 11 different chemical poisonings in her bloodstream. Four of them were off the charts. A recent news headline here in Fiji says that people have been contaminating many of our crops from China with chemicals, which explains many of her symptoms. They found many strange chemicals, including Agent Orange, in her bloodstream. And a good doctor here in the States has started her detox. She's here now, and she's beginning to improve somewhat after all of that. So our good missionaries from Fiji are coming back there out of a church in Lubbock. And I said that to say this. I want to give them a love offering. You can designate to the Warnakes, W-A-R-N-E-K-E-S, Warnakes. We know them personally, Josh and Renee, and they have three children. They'll be coming back. I'm going to have them in our church as soon as they move back to Lubbock, and we'll have them down and give them a love offering for that. But, you know, several thousand dollars we're in the habit of doing. In our small church, we give well to missions and missions programs. And especially, here's this problem. They had saved money to buy a house in Fiji, and now they're having to come off the field because it's killing her, absolutely killing her. And she doesn't want to come off the field, but he said, yeah, we're going. And that's the right thing to do. So that's what Paul's talking about here. He says, being enriched in everything, to all bountiful, to your liberality, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Liberal giving causes thanksgiving to God again and again. Here's the third thing. Thanksgiving. Supplies are made abundant by thanksgiving. Supplies are made abundant by giving thanks, learning to be thankful. In verse number 8, 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. What does that mean? God is able to make me have more finances. God is able to make me have more abundance in anything and everything. Though sometimes it may not be dollar bills, it might be a car, or it might be a piece of machinery or something that I can give to someone in need. All of those things. And he says, being enriched in everything. And then he says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. We're always able to give to missions, missionaries, to a need, to a brother or sister that needs help. And God is blessed and God is praised because of it. But supplies are made abundant by our giving of thanks and our using what God has for us. Now I want to show you something. Listen to me. Don't turn me off yet. Look down in verse number 12. 2 Corinthians 9:12. We just talked about being enriched in everything. We just talked about all of that for the thanksgiving of God. And then verse 12 says, "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God." The administration of this service, that is giving. Being administrator in charge of giving. I'm going to tell you the honest truth. The only place that you need to give correctly is through your local church. That's where God gets glorious, through his church. You don't write a check to Oral Roberts or what's the cat down in Houston? Yeah, some of you have been supporting him, I can tell. Brother Joel. You don't write a check to Joel, and you don't write one to Oral Roberts, and you don't write one like that. You give through your church. You can designate, and we're not giving to Oral Roberts, and we're not going to give to Joel Osteen, but hey, look. Notice verse 12, "For the administration of this service," we're giving. We're giving to missions, we're giving to missionaries, we're giving to have Bibles printed, we're giving to Bible colleges where young preachers and preachers' wives are being trained. We're giving. He said, this is a service. Notice, I'm in charge of my bank account. I'm administrator over my bank account. "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of saints," supplies the need they have, "but is abundant also." In other words, it excels. It's like that waves of the sea. It redounds. It comes back again and again and again. "Supplying this service, administration of this service, supplieth the want of the saints, but it is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God." It happens again and again. Because we recognize God is the author of it. Because we recognize that God gives to us so we can give to others. And here it is. And it's a great thing. Notice that word administration in verse 12. Now, this will knock your boots off. Listen. The administration of this service. What service? Of giving. Of being liberal with the funds. The word administration has a definition of a priestly work. A priestly work, a holy service. It's spiritual. It's a holy service. This administering of the service of giving, the administering of that service is a priestly work, a holy service, as if we are doing it unto God and for God, is what he's saying. You ever look at, man, I just thought the preacher was trying to get my money. Huh? You know, Baptist churches are famous for passing the offering plate. It's not that we're doing something to you, it's that we're doing something for you. We're giving you an opportunity to administer the service that he talks about in verse 12. And it is abundant because God gives back. You can't outgive God. Remember, he started this off by saying, we reap what we sow. If we sow bountifully, we reap bountifully. If we sow stingily, we reap stingily. Thanksgiving. It's all about thanksgiving. Supplies are made abundant by our thanksgiving. Look at verse number 13. whilst by the experiment of this ministration, what experiment? What ministration? The ministration of administration of the service as a holy work, as a priestly work, giving. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. They glorify God because you heard God say, give, and you gave. Well, wow. They glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Supplies are abundant by thanksgiving. Here's the last thing. When we give thanks, we ought to be thankful of the greatest gift that's ever been given. We ought to recognize it and truly be thankful for it, which is found here in verse 15, where he says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. His gift is of such a high order. His gift is so expensive. His gift is greater than any gift that's ever been given you. His gift is greater than anything that shall ever be given to you. His gift is not able to be described by the human vocabulary. It is unspeakable what God has done for us by giving us his only son to die for us in our place and make us children of Almighty God through faith in him. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. In the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 23, he says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks unto God. Here we are this Thanksgiving season. And, you know, the wife and I were out this week. You know, we have new challenges in our life all the time. And we have new challenges of our time and the things that go on there. And we have challenges that never faced before. And so they're new and different. But we have challenges all the time. And as you're out and about, there are more people in the area now than there used to be. It's like Christmas time all year round on the streets and down the highways, if you know what I mean. And the parking lots are full and people are rude and crude. But we have to be reminded to give thanks for what God has done for us. And this Thanksgiving holiday, we'll be together. And you and I will be together next Sunday and have our meal together. Our guests are our guests, and you're all welcome. And we not just welcome, we want you to come and be a part. We'll have an early afternoon service, a short service, and we'll be done. No Sunday night church next week. But we gather together and we thank, and when we think, we thank God for his unspeakable gift. When we think, there used to be nothing but mesquite bushes out here and rattlesnakes. And God opened the door for a miracle to happen supernaturally. And we got hold of 16 acres here, cleaned it up, put down a water well, started a road through here. And from there on, God took hold and just completely outdid everything, anything we could even think about or imagine. And unto him, we give thanks for everything you see. The nice pew. I've been in churches where you sit in the pew and the foam is worn out and your back hurts the whole time you sit there. You can thank God for those nice pews you sit in. I sit in them every once in a while. They're comfortable. You have a nice building, nice facilities. You thank God every time you come. Hey, unto him be grateful. Unto him be thankful. Again and again and again, his unspeakable gift. There's a verse of scripture that comes to mind in Romans chapter 8. And it says in verse 31 and 32, He says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Yeah. What do you have need of? Ask him. You have not because you ask not. You know, I've seen God answer prayer this week. Seen God answer prayer almost every week. That's an amazing thing. Some Christians can only say, well, I had an answered prayer about 15 years ago. It ought to be a common thing for Christians to have answered to their prayers every week. A common thing. If you're not praying, you're not receiving. If you're receiving, you better be thanking because God is able. Thank you, Lord, for your greatness. Thank you for your love and compassion to us. I pray now as you bring the message to mind that people are truly grateful for all things you've done, all things that you say you're going to do, and for your coming again. May we be a grateful people who not only love you, but also love the giving to others as well. Forgive our sin and give us your grace and your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.